Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass completes his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
Welcome to Off the Bench Super Bowl edition. This is the recap for us. My man Debo's holding it down in Philly for us. I'm leading with Debo and not Rajah Bell today because he is the celebration. He's up in Philadelphia. How's it going, my man?
It's awesome. It's better.
Was a deep pause. Like I said, oh my goodness. Yeah. Have you slept at all?
About an hour, but it's better than expected. I waited a long time for this one, and the whole city did, so it's pretty sweet right now. I don't need sleep.
A little, dude.
Were you at a bar? Where'd you watch a game?
No, I just wanted to watch at home with family, where I've watched hundreds of games with my dad and brother that have watched hundreds of games with me, so it was really special. Really awesome.
Did you guys cry?
Yeah, you'll see videos later, Hannah.
I saw a couple Snapchats of you just like talking to yourself. You were like, wait, what'd you say?
That's our boy Debo up in Philly, our producer. That's Hannah Ostapchuk, as always, joining us. This is our Super Bowl edition. We're going to do a bunch of Super Bowl stuff. We're going to get everything, every angle of the game covered. We'll do our reaction to Pink, JT at halftime. We'll have our latest updates from the NBA as the Cavs continue to struggle. But it was all about the Eagles in Super Bowl 52.
Eagles by 8. Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
All right, so it was a crazy game. It lived up to the hype. I mean, I feel like we've been so spoiled as sports fans because, and for the last couple years, like last year's game, it felt like a dud, but then the Falcons blew the lead. The Patriots come back. College football, we've been getting great games. Like the sport of football, as much trouble as you might think it's in, man, the championships have been unreal, and last night was no different, back and forth. You thought it was going to play out as the evil, you know, Patriots dynasty was just going to come back as always. But the Eagles were not having it. Fly, Eagles, fly. And the celebration was on.
It was on. They were ready. It's the way I like to watch football. I like to see high scoring, you know, up and down offensive games. I'm sure everyone's doing it this morning, but we spoke about what had to happen from an Eagles perspective offensively last week. And that was Doug Peterson and Nick Foles both being like pedal to the metal. And we're going to be ultra aggressive. We're not going to hamstring or handcuff him. Let him go out there and feel like he owns this game. Put it in his hands and see if you can do it. And kudos to them. They did it. And they rallied around him. I mean, he threw some phenomenal balls. He had some balls that he dropped in windows. But there were also some really big catches. Some scrambles after he broke contain and was out on the edge. And some guys coming back making big plays on third down. So I thought it was a really cool storyline, and the execution of the offensive game plan from the Eagles was exactly what it had to be.
Yeah, there wasn't much defense played, and I didn't have a problem with it. Like, I thought there was just two offenses, two quarterbacks specifically, because Brady was fantastic. He threw for 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. There were no turnovers. As much as we talked about pressuring the quarterbacks and pressuring Tom Brady, they didn't get to him that much, except when it mattered.
One time,
and they were able to get the strip sack to seal the game. But I'm with you. The quarterback play was phenomenal. And I thought Doug Peterson, and this is kind of the way I felt going into the game, was that they flourished in this underdog role. And I felt like it allowed them to play loose. Like, they were like, hey, we're not supposed to win this game. Nobody thinks we can knock off this dynasty. And if we are going to, we're going to be aggressive. And they did that from the get-go in the first drive of the game when they came out throwing it almost every down. They were taking shots down the field to going for it on 4th and 1 when right before the half. Right. And everybody was like, oh, what are they doing? And then, oh, they just ran the same play that the Patriots ran before.
That's right.
And Brady dropped the ball.
Right.
And Nick Foles caught it. It was phenomenal from the Eagles' perspective. From them to be able to close that out. Let me ask them, when they had the lead, I felt confident the whole game. Like,
right.
I just felt like the Eagles were going to be okay. I just felt like we had seen it too many times. The Patriots come back, and I just felt like once they got that lead, they would seal it. Were you What was your thought process as you were watching it, and then the Patriots come back and take the lead? Did you think, uh-oh, the Eagles are going to choke?
I didn't think they were going to choke, but I thought that what wound up happening was going to happen, which was Tom Brady was going to have the ball back in his hands with an opportunity, and you wouldn't have enough of it. What was the lead at that point when he got it back with 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go? Was it
five?
What was a touchdown wins it, right?
Yeah. So five, I think.
That's where I was like, damn, they're going to get it back. He's just going to cement whatever legacy is left to cement. I mean, he's going to do it. And I just thought it was really fitting that, you know, we talked about them getting pressure all week, and they couldn't do it, and they muster up one rush. And the guy – they interviewed him. I don't. What was his name? Do you know his name?
Which one?
The one who got the strip sack on Brady.
Oh, Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham. They asked him about it, and he detailed what happened. And he was talking about, you know, bull rushing the center the whole game, and this time he ripped him and he went, and it was pretty cool that one play sealed it. But I, to your point, to your question, I was worried that they gave him the ball back with too much time and he was going to do what he did.
That was the most nervous I was the entire game, was when there was 2:20 left on the clock. Because I thought, and by the way, Doug Peterson, his quote after the game, you win Super Bowls by being aggressive. When you're conservative, you go 8-8. And yeah, I love that mindset. And he was an unlikely story. Like, he was coaching high school football 8 years ago.
That's fantastic.
Like, it's insane. But to your point, 2:20 left in the game, that was the most nervous I was, because I thought – the Eagles, but this again goes there. I thought they might try to milk the clock and start running it a lot more and try to kick a field goal and, you know, just kind of win the game late and let the clock go to zero, like try to play it. But to their credit, they didn't settle for the field goal. They're like, nope, we're going to go score. And they didn't mind. And the defense came up big when they had to. It was just the back and forth nature of the game. And this really was what undid the Patriots from week one. Remember week one, they got smoked by the Chiefs. And we were talking about the defense. Man, this defense, they're not that good. And they weren't that good. They were awful all season long from in between the 20s, right? They buckled it down in the red zone, and they were better in the red zone. But their downfall was the defense. And that was, again, was their biggest problem, which kind of it finally their weakness came back to haunt them in the end.
You know what bothers me a little bit, if I'm being honest, that bend don't break is all I heard. Like, you're still a bad defense,
right?
Like,
right,
you bend don't break. I mean, like, some of that could be coincidence that you don't give up a lot of points. If you're giving up the most yards in the NFL, you don't just get to flip a switch and say bend don't break, right?
No.
That's not the way it goes. And so I think, you know, to your point, like, that it's what went down last night. You saw a bad defense get shredded. Like, Nick Foles, you know, it took me back to my days with Mike D'Antoni a little bit. Nick Foles, it's clearly been, you know, miscast. I think what happened to him with Jeff Fisher speaks more to Jeff Fisher than it does to Nick Foles. I think, you know, 27 season and you know, what he's going to do when he comes in this year. But it took me back to my days with Mike D'Antoni and the psyche between the relationship between a player and his coach, right? And when a player could be in a fragile situation and a coach like a Doug Peterson or Mike D'Antoni, who's ultra player friendly, and what they do to make you feel confident and secure in your role. And so I had a night, you know, I was 0-10 in like Oklahoma City, and I was, you know, I wasn't known to just gun the ball. And so Mike came over to me and he told me I got to shoot the next one. He was pulling me out and he sat down with me and he said, listen, you're 40% shooter. He was like, you went 0-10 tonight. You know, the probability that the next 8-9 you shoot are going in is very, very high. And you come out tomorrow night and you light it up again. Without that conversation, I might not do that. But I went 8-9 the next night in the Staples Center.
Yeah.
And just the conversation that he was able to have with me and the faith that he showed in me, you know, allowed me to kind of have that confidence in myself if I were to be lacking in it.
Everybody and their brother jumped off the Eagles bandwagon from a couple different times. One, the minute Carson Wentz went down, everybody's like, they're done. Their season's
right.
Over. Then – if they didn't jump off him then, they jumped off after the regular season finished, and you had the two starts with Nick Foles, the last two starts, because he started a few games, but the last two starts when he was atrocious, everybody then said, oh, they're done. They're going to get bounced. Everybody, except not all of us, everybody said they're going to get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. They're
right.
Done. But Peterson never let up. And I thought the one way, because I was, when I was talking about the games, we talked about it all week, we all did, was How does the game start for Nick Foles? I was a little bit worried about
10 for 10.
Right.
11 for 11.
But if you notice the play design, and Chris Collinsworth actually did a good job on this.
A lot of RPO.
A lot of RPOs, but there was a quick pass early. And the way he was surveying the field, he was not overwhelmed one bit. I thought it was a really cool story from him, too.
That speaks to the – I mean, the O-line. You got to get to the O-line.
Both of them. The quarterbacks didn't get touched. But like, they didn't get hit hard at all.
I feel like if one of them needed more protection to be successful last night, it was probably Nick Foles, right? Just for confidence. Like
for
Brady,
sure.
He don't like to be hit, but
– For sure.
What does this mean? I'm left begging the question. I asked it last week. Like, what does this mean for Nick Foles? Now, I get that Philly fans are going to, like – There's going to be a statue of Nick Foles up one day, but the job goes back to Carson Wentz. I'm not arguing for that. But what does it mean for Nick Foles? Like, I don't think he's a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, he's a starter. But see, here's the thing. He's only going to be as good as the players you put around him and the system that he's in. And he's got to get a good coach. And that's where I think, and to talk about Jeff Fisher and the other places he's been, he's got to get good coaching and a system that utilizes his pinpoint accuracy. Like, that's his biggest thing. And life is so much about being in the right place at the right time. Yeah. And even more so in sports, like getting into a system that fits your skill set, getting with a coach who knows how to pull the right strings and mentally how to prod you and not go too far and ruin your confidence.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, I think Chip Kelly, one of the reasons he moved on from Foles is because Foles isn't a fiery guy. Like, I don't think he's not Brady. He's out there, let's effing go and, you know, chewing out guys. He just is very calm. He's very confident, but he's quiet. And a lot of coaches don't like that. So I think if he goes to the right place, and it'll be really interesting because I think he's got one more year left on his deal, right, Debo? You probably know that's the Eagles guy. He's got one more year left on his deal. But I think you could do a sign and trade for him, but do you do that? Or do you restrict him to his contract? I think you're probably best if you're the Eagles and you're Howie Roseman. I think you're looking at it saying, as great as Nick Foles was for you, do you want him still looming in the shadows?
That's my question.
When Carson Wentz comes back, when you can get, you probably get a first round pick for him, easy, maybe a couple. Because I would say Nick Foles is absolutely, he should be a better commodity than Jimmy Garoppolo was for the Patriots.
I'm selling high.
Absolutely,
I'm selling high.
So take what you can get. And I think everybody would understand, but as far as Eagles fans.
Yeah.
And if let's just say Carson Wentz comes back from his ACL, and the first four games they're 2-2, and he's struggling a little bit because he's not 100%. You know, he's still kind of getting his way back
Eagles
in.
Eagles fans will turn their backs on
right.
Carson Wentz.
So that's why you don't want Foles kind of looming in the shadows. Put all your faith in your future,
right?
And go ahead and get something while you can for Nick Foles. But to your question, I think he's absolutely a Super Bowl quarterback. One of the biggest surprises to me in the game, Bill Belichick being very un-Bill Belichick-like. I thought he made a couple bad decisions in the game. I thought one of them, which Malcolm Butler not playing, benched in the game. I thought that was him being too cute. Hey, I can find somebody to go play. Anybody can do this. In that game where they got shredded by Nick Foles, maybe if you would have had one of your starters playing. And I don't know if there was something that happened off the field. Maybe there was something we don't know about.
Right.
But I thought Belichick just got too cute in a lot of situations throughout the game where he was outcoached by Doug Peterson, which you never would have thought being one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think, you know, it's kind of like that Tiger effect. You know, Tiger beat a lot of people because everybody was scared to death of Tiger.
Yeah.
And he looked over at him when they're walking up the green on 18, and he's like, there's no way. Like, I see it in his face.
Yeah.
I think part of that is Bill Belichick knew, like, Doug Peterson was not running from that. Like, he could tell early, Doug Peterson's here to play.
Yeah.
That puts a little level of pressure on you. Like, I'm not saying Bill Belichick folded under that pressure, but it puts a little bit of pressure back on you. Like, okay, he ain't getting conservative. We can't guarantee that we're going to get this ball back. They're continuing to put pedal to the metal. I want to know, you know, what happened with the Malcolm Butler thing. Like, I want – because if Bill Belichick
– You know what Butler said after the game.
What did he say?
His quote – F it, except he went ahead and said it. It is what it is. They gave up on me. And yeah, I think and you do feel that way. And if everybody in that, like,
he
there's
played
something
98.8% of the snaps this year.
There's something to be said, too. And I get it. Everybody's expendable. I get that Belichick doesn't re-sign the guys that get paid. But there's something to be said inside that locker room when the defense looks around and says, what? He just benched one of our starters,
dude.
Like what? Before the biggest game of our life, that's messed up. Like, I don't know. I'm not in the ins and the outs of the locker room, but I can imagine some of those players on that defense saying, "Man, are we sure we want to do that?"
There's some resentment in that in that locker room. Like that guy, and I don't. Like, I didn't use that number. Like, he played, and yeah. those defensive snaps, he played more than 95% of the snaps
oh, yeah.
he was supposed to play. Like, so when you subtract some, and granted, like, Malcolm Butler didn't have, like, he wasn't phenomenal this year.
Their whole defense sucked.
Exactly.
You know, like, it
right.
wasn't just on him.
And so, you said it best. Like, you get a little too cute. There's no way. David Griffin said something to me once, like, and it was, I got to Cleveland, and I'm one of those guys that, like, I like to be, like, I like to argue with you. I like to, like, you know, we want to get into it. And he said, sometimes you got to decide whether you want to be right or you want to win.
Right.
You know, and Bill Belichick, maybe you just wanted a little bit too much to be right in this scenario. Like,
right.
I learned from Griff. Like, I want to win.
Yeah.
So I'll bend a rule here or there. I'll do what I got to do to win. Provided he didn't do something.
Egregious.
Yes, that is against all rules in your locker room or all rules in your organization. If it's something short of that, you
right.
play to win. It's
he's
the damn Super Bowl.
He's a free agent, so I think it's safe to say he's not going to be yeah. back for the Patriots. Gronk was pretty quiet in the first half, and so I was nervous because I was very bold on the Eagles. I was bullish on the Eagles
yeah.
throughout the whole game. I'm like, once they got the lead, I'm saying they're not going to blow it. This isn't going to be like every other storyline. The Eagles are going to close this one out. Opening drive, and so I told you I was a little bit nervous when it was 2:20 and Brady
yeah.
had the ball in his hands. I was a little bit nervous when they came out. The Patriots came out first drive, second half, went to Gronk like five times.
Oh.
And it was bam, right down the field. I was like, uh-oh, that was the adjustment that they made, was just throw it to Gronk every single time. Because the Eagles did a really good job in that first half. Phenomenal, shutting down Gronk. But Gronk was pretty much in the last drive of the game, and then the Hail Mary, they tried to go to him. But I thought the Eagles did a pretty good job of getting physical with him, keeping a body on him, and for whatever reason, because Brady usually can even make those throws, and Gronk still makes those plays.
Yep.
And he had the touchdown catch, which was phenomenal, but Gronk was pretty quiet in that one too. I thought it was interesting after the game, and I'm going to see if Debo can dial up this audio, Gronk talking about his possible retirement.
But I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
So, but that was Gronk talking about his retirement. I thought that was a little bit of an inside look into possibly the entire Patriots dynasty. That if Gronk, because I think Gronk is the type that would be, yeah, I'm back. There's no way I'm retiring. And for him to put just a little bit of doubt saying I have to think about it, I wonder if all these pieces, the key pieces, Belichick,
right.
Brady, Gronk, because those are the three biggest pieces, I wonder if there is a chance. And even Brady talked about his retirement as well. He was not decisive of, I am coming back, which I think could be revealing. I don't know if these players are going to be back for the Patriots.
Is there really
dynasty.
A chance that Gronk isn't going to come back?
No.
I don't think so.
He's
but,
28.
All right, so here.
He's a football player. He look, first half he was really sluggish.
Yep.
Second half, he was a machine.
Yep.
Like, he's coming back. But I think, he's been – what gets lost a little bit in talking about Gronk is how many injuries he sustained.
Exactly.
Like, he's a banged-up dude. He takes a lot of punishment. And
he had the concussion,
yeah.
which
yeah.
was a really bad one for him because he's been hit a lot in the head, but he's never been knocked out cold the way he was in that game and had to be taken from the game.
Right.
Players now are more aware of concussion-related issues after football than they ever have been. And for a lot of them, I feel like it's, hey, if I make this amount of money, I'm done. It's not worth it. And Gronk definitely has that amount of money left.
Right.
But I don't even know if it would be the concussions as much as it would be the totality of every single injury
yeah.
that he's been through. Like, when they showed the replay of the Hail Mary after the game was over and he was running down the field, they isolated him running down the field. Did you see how
like RoboCop?
Did you see how, like, lumbering?
Yeah.
Like, he's not, it's kind of crazy when you think about how effective he is. Because he was, like, kind of limping.
It was a terrible-looking run. He, like, swatted somebody out
yes.
of the way, and he was...
Yes, so I don't... And if Gronk doesn't come back, like, that's
like,
Brady's
yeah.
boy. I'm with you. If I had to put money on it, I'm saying Gronk is back. Brady, I think, is back, too. He's made it very clear, even though he expressed a little bit of doubt. Belichick, somebody said, and I'm not sure if this is 100% confirmed, said he went out and grabbed a piece of the turf, like, after the game. And like as he was walking
snuck
off,
it in his pocket.
Yeah, I don't know
oh.
if that's like that could be like a little memento keepsake after his
snuck
last
it in his
game.
Hat boxes. We're
maybe
going
I again, if you had me to put money on it, I feel like everybody will take a deep sigh. Just let's take a breath. In a week or so, they'll come back, and you'll get Kraft in a room, Brady in a room, and Belichick in a room. They'll hash it out.
It'll
they'll have
fine.
All their issues. Maybe Belichick says, "I didn't like the Tom versus time. I didn't like this." And maybe they'll all set it back and they'll say, look, I think the loss might help them because I think it'll drive them more. It'll make them the competitive, pissed off side.
That's a good
will
point.
Say, I want to come back.
We've
and
got
prove
something
people.
To prove now. Yeah.
Because everybody wants to go out on top. You don't want to go out as a loser.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Brady's coming back for sure.
I don't think Brady is coming back as a loser no matter what.
Right. Right.
Like, there's no way he's already.
Kind of what happened.
I know.
Who is this person?
It's not like I still like him. You know, I was watching, like, before the Super Bowl even started, there was this special on Brady and it was him talking. And I was like, I was sitting there with my dad who, you know, told me to hate Brady from the beginning of my birth.
Don't you dare do
and
it.
And we were like, you know, he really is like the best at, like, he's the best guy. And then he said something. He was like.
He was so cocky.
He was so cocky right before. And yeah. I was like.
Oh, you got
yeah,
right
guy.
You
got, yeah. I was like, yeah, I hate this guy.
You have to. And I know you hate him, but you should hate watch it. You need to watch Tom versus Time.
You know,
it is really good.
Somebody tweeted like when there was like. You know, right at the end of the game, they were like, one would call this Tom versus Time. And I loved that.
I still contend that Al Michaels trolled him a little bit at the very end of the game when he said, time has run out on the Patriots. I thought that was a subtle troll. I don't know if it was that calculated.
No, I loved it.
But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How cool was it, though, that like the one play that you could say was left on the table for the Patriots, the one play that was left on the table was the catch that he couldn't make going down the sideline. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
It was so bad. Like, what was – he looked like crap.
He's not a receiver.
I know. Why didn't you just keep running? Why leap in the air?
All right, so I've ran that play. I was watching with my family. My parents were over and my girls were over. And one of my nephews said, hey, have you ever caught a pass? Have you ever ran that play? And we had it in – when I was a senior at Florida State versus Virginia, which is a game we lost, and we called it. Warwick Dunn was the running back. It was kind of a throwback.
He threw a lot of balls, didn't he?
Like a little bit, yeah. So Coach Bowden was loved to call him. And we ran it in the game, and of course they knew what type of athlete I was, so they had it well covered. So he actually didn't throw it to me. But this is because you're not a receiver.
Right.
Your biggest fear as the quarterback in that situation is you're going to get lit up because now you're not a quarterback. Now
you're a
receiver.
Fair game.
And I felt like Brady, and it's really hard because your eyes. Normally, when you're a quarterback, you have the peripheral. You can kind of feel the pressure around you. But you're out of your element
when you're out in space,
and you know you're a receiver who can get, bam, lit up. I felt like Brady because you're looking at the ball. You're looking back. I felt like he was worried about getting hit.
He took a ballerina leap.
Absolutely.
Yes, it was so fantastic. He like ballerina'd into it.
It might have scored, too. It was wide open.
But then there was a play shortly after that where he ran, and he also looked extremely unathletic.
Well, yeah, he's not going to run.
He ran a 5.3 at the combine. He is not an athlete.
I watched that video the other day.
It's embarrassing.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. Which kind of
– You have to watch that.
Right. It's insane how good he is with being as unathletic as he is.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. He's amazing.
One last thing I want to get to on that. What did you guys think of the catch, no catch stuff? Because I thought the first touchdown where – who was it? Who was it, Debo, that caught it? Was it Corey Clement?
Yep.
Who was kind of bobbling the ball. I thought that one was a little bit iffy, but I thought it was a catch. And I thought – but then the second one where Ertz scored, I thought that Collinsworth and Michaels – talked about it too much. I thought they were debating it too much. I was like, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
He caught it. It was very clear.
He took three steps and then dove towards the end zone. It was like they were championing the cause of getting this catch rule like fixed this year, right? There was an agenda.
So if shooters get gun shy, right? If you get scared to shoot, I thought that Michaels and Collinsworth got a little bit so concerned about the rule and getting it right
and calling it right
that they wanted to cover every aspect of it. That they ended up blowing it, but like, and they put too much time into it.
I mean, Chris
and,
Collinsworth was pretty adamant that the second one wasn't a catch.
I know.
I was like, that's clearly a catch.
Me too. But I think all of that goes to how bad the NFL has screwed up this rule.
Yeah.
The fact that the announcers who, you know, Collinsworth's a receiver for, you know, in the NFL can't even figure it out. They've got to do something.
Speaking of rules, I really love the fact that those refs were able to swallow their whistle a bit last night.
Yes.
I did.
Loved it.
I loved it. Like, you know what I hate? I hate that like 30-yard like ball down the field where both players are like bumping and grinding for the ball and it's a pass interference and they get 30 yards. I hate that. Like in a game like this, let them play, let them wrestle it out. It took care of itself.
Absolutely. Loved it. Loved that they let them play. All right. So it was a phenomenal game. Maybe one of the best of all time. I hate doing the ranking best games of all time.
Oh.
You know, like, because I get it's what we do.
Right.
And every debate show that's
do
on
we
TV
have to
is going
to
say,
we're
no,
rank
we don't.
Them.
No, all we're right. not going to rank them because I don't like it. Okay. I think it's one of the greatest games
I
of all time.
I thought you were leading me up.
No,
saying you didn't
I wouldn't
like
do that.
And then
no,
we
I
have
thought
to
it was
do
great.
I say, I thought it was just a great game.
It was phenomenal.
And no matter who, if our boy Debo's loving it. Debo, were you looting last night?
No, I would rank it the best of all time. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, of course, and it should be to you. But back to were you climbing grease poles? Were you?
Yeah, you didn't see me on there? I sent you a DM. That's me up there setting fires, looting stores, looting Wawas. I got to protect myself. That wasn't me for any legal purposes.
Did anyone peep Kevin Hart?
Yes.
Getting, like, they were keeping his little behind off that stage at all costs. He was so salty. Did you see that?
Yes. And
yeah,
then
he dropped the F-bomb and then walked away.
That's what I want to try to see. If Debo can if you can find the audio of him on NFL Network after the game, he did drop the F-bomb.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, you got to listen to it.
He realizes he did it and then was like,
a great city, I thought. I hope this is an example of what we can do. We gave a
All right, he got to go.
And then put the mic down and walked away.
That was so fantastic.
Like, oh. And he also said, excuse me, I've been drinking. You got to excuse me. I actually saw – now, everybody knows it. So when I was on Radio Row last week, he was at the Mall of Americas and walked by with about 10 security guys. And I know the security guys were big. He is tiny. And everybody knows he's tiny, but you don't realize how tiny he is until you really see it. He is a tiny dude. All right, so let's get some fun stuff. JT, Justin Timberlake halftime, Hannah – rate it.
I'm still glowing. I don't think I've ever gone that long without blinking. I was drooling at one point, maybe. Like, all of it was so phenomenal. It was so, and I love that he made it very family friendly.
Yeah.
There was no sexiness to it. I love
a little
I
bit
everything.
Of sexiness. I was kind of like my daughter.
He played sexy back for like a minute.
Yes, yes.
But like the dancers, okay, everyone was really well dressed. Like there was nothing that was like,
I agree,
over the top dramatic. It was just a classic good performance. That is why Justin Timberlake is the GOAT. I just thought it was so good.
I you know how I feel about the music situation. Like, I couldn't name five Justin Timberlake songs, but I enjoyed the performance. I did. I enjoyed the halftime performance. I thought the choreography was really good. Like, some of that stuff he was doing, like when he had the mic stand there.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff was dope.
I was thinking, like, I was going to say, what's more impressive, Brady at 40 playing the way he is, or Timberlake at 37 dancing the way he is?
Timberlake's going to do that until he croaks. Like, I he's really going to be doing that.
Cool.
And I love
cool.
that Fallon introduced him. I thought
that
was great.
Their friendship's
I love their bromance.
NBC. It tied in perfectly. Right. It tied in perfectly. How about the kid with the selfie?
Amazing.
But that was pretty cool. And the fact that he went into the stands, I thought was just another little touch that made it cool. I've been on the Timberlake bandwagon since day one, since the perm at NSYNC.
Oh.
And like, because he's a musician. Yeah. I love the fact that he's really talented, mm-hmm. like as a musician. So I've always been a big fan of his music. I think he's pretty, like, I like stuff that I can listen to with my daughters.
Yes.
And like he can put him in the car and mm-hmm. you can sing along with him. He's fun. So I thought it was a spectacular job from JT. How about Pink? National anthem. Were you on board with that?
Yeah, I thought it was great. She had the flu.
You were right. How many things were you right on?
I was right about everything. So I was right about her having blonde white hair, whatever it was. No cleavage, being under 2 minutes. Also, I was right about Justin Timberlake coming out to the song Filthy.
Oh wow!
I put no money on anything.
All right, so back. So the halftime. The only thing that I wasn't crazy about, and this might not be popular, I thought the Prince was too forced, and I didn't love the song.
So there was a ton of backlash.
Exactly.
He got a ton of backlash for that because Prince said specifically when he was alive, obviously, he said that he doesn't want to be a part of any sort of like reboot. Like, he said that he looks down at artists who want to be
somebody else.
Like, what's it called when you're brought back into
hologram?
Oh. Yes, a hologram.
Oh,
so he thinks that anything that's a hologram is like looked down on. He says it's not like he's like, that's not the way life is. Like, if I was supposed to play with Duke Ellington, I would have been.
But
born
it wasn't a hologram. It was just like a big.
Correct. It wasn't. But diehard Prince fans are a little mad about it.
Yeah.
Because it was him singing.
I just thought the song choice wasn't the best. Like, when we talked about the song, I thought the song choice wasn't that great.
I liked it. I thought it was
good.
You did? Yeah. I enjoyed it. I liked the purple.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. So that was pretty cool.
Wait, also.
Pink. How about Pink? So we were watching again. Family was watching it unfold, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Oh, she's chewing gum." Because right before
it
started, well, I didn't know that. Wait, what's a what?
It was a lozenger.
A lozenger.
What's a lozenger?
Wait, do I say it wrong?
I think it's just a lozenge.
I call it a lozenger.
You do?
I do, but it's a lozenge. But
both
I call
you
it a
guys
lozenger.
Okay,
butcher it.
I do. Cough drop.
So, but no, but there. But did you know that when you were watching it?
Wait, it's a lozenge.
Yes,
it's a lozenge,
lozenge.
Apparently, but I call it a lozenger. The way I grew up.
Who decided that it was a lozenge?
No, that's what it is. is. Yeah, that is the official name. So,
cough drop.
But I thought that, I thought it was like, oh man, what a trashy move during the Super Bowl to have gum and to spit it out. But she, and she must have taken heat for it because she tweeted right away. Yeah. It was a lozenge, people. She did say lozenge, not lozenger.
Lozenge.
She did a great job.
Was it good? I missed it.
I mean, it was. It was
she
good.
Was great.
Yeah,
she
it was great. Good. It was solid.
Yeah.
How about commercials?
The Olympic commercials,
yeah.
I think, stole the show.
They were
so good.
The Shaun White one, I was pumped up.
Yes.
And I don't think I would ever be pumped up from a little snowboarder, skateboarder guy, but that was pretty sweet with AC/DC.
All the stories, like they had really good stories when they
did the Lindsey Vonn one. I was I was watching that with my girls again, and I was like, you got, now my daughter's a swimmer. So I was like, we're saving all your videos so we can do a commercial like this.
Fantastic.
She's really shy. She's like, I'll never do that. But watching that. The Eli Manning, Odell Beckham.
That's
amazing.
Stole it. That
did steal the show.
That was
you know,
phenomenal.
I didn't even see that
Dirty
live.
Dancing?
Oh, you didn't?
I saw it on Instagram, and I was was I doing? Like, I don't even know what I was doing that nobody – I came back, nobody was talking about it.
Right.
I thought that commercial was really good. I also really liked the one with Morgan Freeman.
Oh, the Doritos and the Mountain Dew?
Lord of the – no,
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
He's from
Game of Thrones. Yeah. The Doritos where they're spitting fire.
Yeah, that was great.
Spitting the Busta Rhymes.
Dude,
Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott.
The one that got the biggest laugh in our house out loud was the Febreze commercial.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I don't either.
Stuff don't stink. My son's stuff don't stink.
Yeah. I got to go back and watch them all over again. Debo put the Dilly Dilly ones in here. I thought those are getting a little played out
Over.
Like, I like the phrase is funny, but I thought it was a little bit too, like, hey, we have to blow it out for the Super Bowl. And I didn't think it was that funny.
The Bud Knight.
Yeah, the Bud Knight was catchy.
My dad was obsessed with that. He wouldn't stop talking about it. Yeah, and I was like, Dad, it's not funny. Stop talking about it. But, like, he was telling, as every person came into the house, he would, like, retell the story of that commercial. And I was like, I don't understand. I didn't think it was funny.
It's kind of like the, you guys, I don't know if Hannah remembers this. You'll remember this, the what's up?
Of course I remember that.
It was funny for a while, and then it just kind of fades and dies. So I think Dilly Dilly has ran its course as well. So
I cannot believe it's a lozenge.
Did you Google you looked
mind
it up?
My whole life is a lie.
You
that's
looked
like,
it up too, didn't you?
No,
you
I didn't even. I looked up Pink's tweet, and she said lozenge,
exactly.
And I thought, oh, typo.
That's what it is.
I cannot be wrong. This is definitely a typo.
And Giselle was very courteous after the game. I think she was consoling her children, so she didn't yell at anybody because Brady dropped it. There was a lot of people ripping her and going after her because she said nobody else can catch. Or said
clearly,
Tom can't catch and throw.
Clearly
at the same time.
He can't catch it.
It was pretty good. That was way too easy for everybody. But that was a phenomenal game. But there was some other stuff that transpired this weekend. So we'll get to that with Hannah. Here's what's happening with Hannah.
All right, so this one doubles as our best of the weekend duo to some tear-jerking reaction videos. They're golden, guys. The 2018 NFL Hall of Fame class announced on Saturday night with T.O., Terrell Owens, finally getting in on his third try. It didn't take as long for first balloter Randy Moss. Three defensive legends also set to be enshrined with Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, and Brian Dawkins getting the call. Knock on the door.
No, it was pretty cool. I've actually played with or against a lot of these guys, which kind of makes you feel old, but also it's kind of cool to be able to share with people like, hey, I played against that guy. Randy Moss was with me at Florida State. He was a no-brainer to me. T.O., who absolutely the only reason he wasn't in is because the media doesn't like him and they wanted to send that message. But ultimately, if you look at his numbers, it was no choice but to put him in. Brian Dawkins, probably the only one that was a little bit questionable between him and John Lynch. Who do you put in? And I have no problem with Dawkins going in. I think John Lynch will be in eventually.
I love T.O.
Yeah.
All right. The Skins dished out some valuable assets to acquire Alex Smith. Now they might be trying to recoup some of that by, franchise tagging Kirk Cousins. Again, the plan would include a sign and trade after tagging Cousins for the third straight offseason.
So, Debo, let me ask you this. So is this just us as people finding out more of the intricate details of the trade? This was in place already. Like, this is not the Redskins screwing him, is it? It better not be.
No, this has been reported. But, I mean, it ends up potentially screwing Kirk Cousins in the process.
Right, because the deal would have to be in place. But I think ultimately he will have to sign off on this one or he'll have a holdout. But I think he's going to get that the optimal deal in place where he finally does get paid a long-term deal. And hopefully the Redskins don't screw him as much as they have already.
All right, this one from Saturday. St. John stunned Duke with an 81-77 upset victory, but it might have been Coach K's that were the most shocking. So he didn't hold back on his young team, saying, quote, they made us look bad, but we made ourselves look bad. We didn't play basketball the first 32 minutes worthy of our program. And he went on to claim it was disgusting. really. My dad called me about this game because he was so excited that Duke lost. But yeah. Did Coach K take it too far?
You guys are such haters. I hate Duke too, but you guys hate every good team.
We went to Syracuse.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay.
No, he didn't go too far. These are 18, 19, in some cases 20-year-old men, and if they didn't go out there and do what they were supposed to do, that's his job, is to put them in check. I don't know what St. John's record is this year. I don't follow it like
that.
They
were 10-13. Yeah. I watched the game. They did the typical, like, hey, we're the really good team. All we have to do is show up. And then they flipped the switch too late, and they couldn't close it out. I can't believe you asked him that question if you think he went too far. When he goes too far with third graders every single weekend, then you know he's not going to say
somebody had video of me yesterday.
But you didn't get kicked out.
I did not get kicked
out. All right, good. So we're making progress.
Yeah, we're growing. There's some growth.
Yeah.
I want you to say that exact quote. It was disgusting.
It was disgusting. I said, listen, I had a – our fifth grade teams played yesterday, and I don't remember exactly what I said because I blacked out for a minute when I was yelling at them. But something along those lines.
It's your moment. Not all Boston teams were losers on Sunday. Al Horford's fadeaway at the buzzer lifted the Celtics over the Blazers 97-96. Horford with 22-10 as the Celts maintain a two-game lead over the Raptors in the East.
And it's a win. I'm sure the C's grind them out. So they're going to have a lot of games where they may be a buzzer beater. Somebody hits a shot with 20, 30 seconds left and they get a stop to maintain a victory. They're just not a really good offensive team.
Yeah.
They kind of do it by committee, but defensively they grind you out. Two game lead in the East. They need a break though. I feel like they're hitting a wall right now. They need some rest to get away and refresh.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. So those are some of the highlights of the weekend. There are also some worst of the weekend. I didn't watch it Saturday night. The Cavs were on national TV in their place. They're playing the Rockets. They got smoked by 120-88. It was the fifth worst loss of LeBron's career. Well, go ahead.
That didn't even do it justice.
Right.
Like that score.
Right. They were down 40 at one time.
It was disgusting.
Yeah. It was brutal. So I asked you before, the confidence scale, 1 to 10, that the Cavs win the Eastern Conference. You started at a 6, then you went down to a 4. That was before Saturday night. Where are you now on the confidence scale of the Cavs getting to the finals?
I'm at a 2.
It's that bad.
It's bad.
Now, but they did come back and they said Ty Lue was safe, right? That was last week. They said no, Ty Lue's not going anywhere. They reiterated that he's the guy in charge. But man, LeBron said, I'm at a loss for words. That was his comments after the game. It was funny because he actually said they should take us off every nationally televised game for the rest of the season. We haven't played good ball, and we got our butts kicked every time we play on national TV. So I'm at a loss for words. I just think they're bad. I don't think it has anything to do with the national TV jinx. They're just not that good that year.
No, and I think he was saying that they don't deserve to be on national TV because they don't.
Right.
Like that's not a product that anyone wants to watch. I was sitting there. I kept my son up. He had a game the next morning, but I wanted him to see the Cavs. And it became evident very early that they weren't putting up any kind of fight. It was embarrassing. If you were a Cavs fan or a player, that was embarrassing. They were any number of times guys came down the court, no hand up on 3-point shooters. Ryan Anderson head faked 2 dribbles to the rim, 2-handed dunk. Ryan Anderson ain't dunked in 7 years. Like there is so much dysfunction there, and that's what really worries me about
it.
There were so many dudes, like when pick and roll happened and the strong side corner is supposed to bump the big high before he gets to the front of the rim, right? And then you can get some help from somewhere else. There were so many instances like that where one person didn't do their job, so the next person didn't do their job, and then everyone's got their hands up in the air looking at each other like, dude, what the F? That's dysfunction.
Yeah, Isaiah's the one that's calling him out, and I kind of like it because usually it's only LeBron that calls people out, that calls them out left and right. Isaiah said, I don't know the last time we got on the floor for a loose ball. I know the teams I've been on, defense is determined on deflection, steals, loose balls. Who's the hardest working team? That's my question. If this team, like they've done before in years past, they don't really care about the regular season because they know all they have to do is just get to the postseason, then they bump it up and they flip that switch. And I think that's frustrating for Isaiah because he's never been on a team that can afford to do that. But it feels different than that,
right? This isn't that.
Right. It's like deeper.
If it were that, I'd be fine with them still.
Right.
You could see, you could tell this isn't that. No one's got an answer.
Yeah.
It's dysfunction. And the problem with Isaiah doing it is you're playing really bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people would bring me in as a vet and they want me to be a leader on their team, tell organizations, look, I don't have much of a role, and that's fine with me.
Right.
Then I can't be leading the team because people are going to be looking at me like, bro, shut up.
You have to earn the respect.
You have to earn
first.
And he's got none. He's got none in Cleveland right now. You got to get on the court, do your thing, and then you can start preaching about what the team needs to do.
You're about to bail. You're at a two. I am about to bail on the Cavs. You know who isn't? It's Vegas. They're still the favorite to win the Eastern Conference. Celtics are behind them. It's not really that close. Everybody's betting on LeBron, if you're betting that the Cavs are going to get there, that he's just going to flip that switch. All right, Debo, let's do some topics, man. What do you got for us?
All right. We're going to go back to the Super Bowl because we have to go back to the Super Bowl. Eagles left tackle Lane Johnson, he was suspended last year, which really hurt the Birds. They struggled in his absence. But this summer, he promised to make it up to the city and to the fans, and even promised free beer if the Eagles made and won the Super Bowl. Well, Bud Light actually responded back in July saying, if you win, free beer for the whole city. That's a couple million people. Well,
so what happens?
Maybe they regret it now, because this is sweet to say, the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions, but Bud Light is going to make good and have one free beer for everyone over the age of 21 along the parade route at bars. Is this a good idea?
Dilly dilly.
Whoa. They're actually going to do it. It's kind of like, because you see some of the, like Dunkin' Donuts, don't they have a free something day, free donut day? You get other like ice cream shops give like a day, because it's really good exposure for your brand if you let them do it. It's great exposure for Bud Light. Like, it's free advertising. You get it out there. Yeah. People are going to try it.
It's a lot of Bud Light.
But I bet they weren't complaining. I bet they weren't counting on it.
That's
when it
bold.
Happened. It is pretty cool that they actually did something with it, too.
And the numbers for this parade, it's not announced yet when it's going to be. But it's going to be, I would guess, around 2-3 million people. So that's a lot of Bud Light.
You should stay home. It's probably tomorrow, right? Don't they always?
No, they're trying to push it to Wednesday, which is a big day for us. But I don't want to say too much if the bosses listen. But I'm going to try to go on Wednesday.
What's the parade route up there? Do they know
Broad Street.
Yeah,
that's gonna be people like it. It's good if it's Wednesday, because then they can, because you know they're gonna be hurting today. They kind of recoup and then just go all out again. Like, schools will have to be canceled. Like, just do
that's
it all,
awesome.
Make it a
Absolutely.
Holiday. I love it.
I can be the Canal and Bell correspondent from the parade and report from the parade. Right?
We need it.
That,
for sure.
That works. I'll just post videos on Twitter. All right. How do we feel about these celebrities? And we talked about this beforehand. But the celebrities being focused on so much, Bradley Cooper showed a lot, but it was hard to ignore him because he was sitting right next to the Eagles owner. We talked about Kevin Hart, Mike Trout showing a bunch, Steph Curry was there. Is it taking away from the Super Bowl at all, or is that part of the Super Bowl being such a big stage? And also, Kobe's reaction video was one of my favorite of the night, celebrating with his daughter.
That was great. I loved watching that Kobe video. I feel like the celebrity, that doesn't matter. It's like fun to see them involved. Like, it's fun to see them being just like everyone else. Like, Will Smith was also pumped on Instagram. But I loved seeing all the support. I see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. It didn't take anything away from
the game
for me.
Like when you had Floyd Mayweather, McGregor, like everybody's showing who's there. Like, that makes it the event that it is, because everybody wants to be there. It's the hardest ticket to get. So you kind of amp that magnitude of the game by saying, look, these celebrities took their time to get to the game to make sure they're there.
I just really can't express how much excitement I got seeing Kevin Hart get snubbed. And I love Kevin Hart.
Right.
But it just gives like, dude, there are some boundaries here.
Yeah.
Like, this is the Super Bowl. You can't be on the stage, brother. I don't care who you are.
He was trying to get on the stage. I love it.
He's crazy. Yeah. He's the only celebrity.
But don't you think that security guard will probably, like, don't you think he should have been allowed up there, or no?
No.
No?
Kevin Hart on the Super Bowl with Jeffrey Lurie, and who else was up? It was like Ertz was the only other guy up there.
Right, right.
Like, why would Kevin Hart
up there eventually?
There.
Doug Peterson, three or four guys.
Get back, bro. This isn't the improv.
I would have loved it, especially if he was drunk like he said he was, if he actually would have gotten up there and been able to talk and like been yelling. Like, that could have been epic.
He was looking at the dude like, bro.
Right, don't you know who I am?
Right, it was fantastic.
No, I was going to say, the only celebrity thing I had a problem with was Kylie Jenner, one of the Kardashian sisters, announcing that she was pregnant like literally hours before the Super Bowl, and it went viral and everybody was sending it to me, and I wasn't on social media. I was like, get off.
You know what I thought was pretty funny? I think this speaks to the, like, how big the Super Bowl is, how big a celebrity you have to be. before the game, they were showing Bradley Cooper, and he was on the sidelines, and he was hanging out with Miles Teller, who's a pretty big movie star as well.
And his
fiance. Like, they had the bottom thing. They had, like, this is Bradley Cooper, and they said it. And they didn't. Nobody even acknowledged Miles Teller that was standing right next to him.
Oh, he is so much cooler than Bradley Cooper.
Well, I think so, too.
Miles Teller really is so cool, cute.
Yeah.
And his fiance, Kelly Sperry, is, so
smoking hot.
Yes.
Yeah. He was – I actually got to meet him up in Bristol. He did one of those car washes, and he was really cool. Like, he's a good dude. He's funny. I think he's a really
good actor. That's like the guy in high school who has like a major glow up. Like he like is a normal dude and then he just becomes like a superstar and he's suddenly hot.
Right. All right, what else you got for us?
All right, I guess we got to move on from the birds. Fly, Eagles, fly. But Danny, tell us the top three reasons you didn't go to the University of Florida, or just maybe one of them.
Well, one of them, the only one you need is the video that went viral from Gainesville. It was at a Hoops game. And it was halftime or something, and they had the dance team was trying to lead the crowd in something. I don't know what it was. They were playing some Cardi B, and the fans were trying to, like, mimic the dancers, I guess. And you saw some of the most unrhythmic, I don't even know if it's a word, white,
Lozenger.
Awful. Yeah, it was atrocious. It was embarrassing for the city of Gainesville, and that's why I didn't go there.
At
school.
At Canell and Bell on Twitter. Check it out.
Do we have any like taps audio or something like something like going like because Florida is officially gone. They've left the building. Like Florida is not a destination where anyone should want to go at this
Why
point.
Was
you
there
have
nobody who had like any sort of rhythm or like swag.
No one.
Like nobody
no
was.
There
in
wasn't
that
a brother in the house.
Certainly there wasn't.
Like what was happening? Who were the like? Can
what
we
game
do some
was
research?
Going?
Like
who signed off on it?
Right.
You know, who was like who decided? Oh, we're gonna lead this exact group of people.
And they all had the same bad dance.
Oh, it was
like
awful.
Everyone did
like,
the same bad dance.
The rhythm was so poor. Did Cardi B say anything about it?
She should. She should acknowledge.
She should denounce University.
It was almost. It was almost like they took the people from the country bar doing the line dancing that's really bad and just threw
that's
it out
there.
That's
all there
is
to do in Gainesville. Those folks don't
please
know how to
tell, please tell awful. Everybody. Now, this is the other reason, Debo, is Hannah and Raja and I were talking before the show. And what did you say about which one of your friends went to Florida State? Well, go ahead. You can say it. You can share it with us.
What did I say? I don't
you said
about
all
the people, all the two types of people.
Oh, the hottest people from Jupiter, my hometown where I grew up. Yes. All the really hot people went to FSU.
That may or may not have
been
why I chose Florida State.
Haley Johnson, I love you. One of my best friends. She's still in Florida now. She's a smoke show, but
she's
the
an
one.
Exception. She's the exception. Yeah, there might be one or two there in Gainesville. All right, so that's there you have it. Fun show today. We got to a lot on the Super Bowl. Thanks for checking us out. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Canell and Bell. Debo will post that video of the Florida fans embarrassing themselves.
Tragic.
Go have some lozengers.
Have some lozengers while you're at it. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, congratulations, Debo. Make sure you hydrate. That's the best way to get rid of the hangover that I'm sure you have. Try to stay there for the parade. We could definitely use you for a correspondent. We'll try to talk to our bosses, the powers that be,
no doubt.
If we can get that done. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, download, and leave us some comments on the 5-star review. And thanks for checking us out. Have a good Monday.